Good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. I'm here every Wednesday from noon to one with you. Thank you so much for making us a priority, tuning in or listening to us online. I really appreciate that. As always, we have a full lineup of terrific guests, creative people who are making things happen in the community. I've got Stephen Curtis, Brian Hearn, Travis Pratt, Casey Hannon, and Michael Schoenoff. And before that, we have the lovely and talented Bill, what is your name, Sundahl, here to talk about the Crossroads Music Festival. Take it away, kid.
All right. Hello, everybody. Thank you, Maria, for having me on your wonderful show.
Tick-tock, tick-tock.
And so I just wanted to get right to it then. The Crossroads Music Fest is an event we produce here at KKFI to showcase the unbelievable talent that Kansas City has in music. So I am just here to announce the first round of artists that we're announcing today. The tickets don't go on sale until July 8th, but we'll be doing a series of showcase concerts that I'll run through a little bit too. But so
absolutely.
I'll just start with the co-headliners of Radke and Kelly Hunt. Yay, is right. And she's Not a Planet, The Fantastics, Jessica Page, The Philistines, Various Blonde, the MGDs, Under the Big Oak Tree, Amanda Fish Band, Heidi Lynn Gluck, Michaela Ann, and she's a traveling artist coming, I think, from Nashville, Ivory Black, American Slim, Brody Buster Band, Brother, Golden Groves, Instant Karma, Irreplaceable Ska Orchestra, Nicholas St. James, Stefan Singleton, Caleb Brian Martin, Street Level Uprising, The Match Sellers, Thunderclaps, Alex Abramovitz and his Swingin' Casey Jazz Band, and, of course, Willie Arthur Smith's Marching Cobras will be back this year.
That's a hell of a lineup. Yes, now, man. How much would you pay?
What? I would pay hundreds of dollars for a lineup.
Absolutely.
Like this. But we work really hard to, with sponsors and have a lot of generous sponsors. So advance tickets are $20, and if you just walk up day of show, it's $25.
Mm-hmm.
But we are doing these CMF showcase shows when the tickets go on sale on July 8th. And at those showcases, you can get them for $15 if you're already paid to get into the show. And these are all fundraisers for 90.1 FM, KKFI. And the showcases are going to start on July 8th. And those are all sponsored by Josie Records, who has been unbelievably generous and mm-hmm. kind and helping us spread the word about KC music. So the Tank Room on Kansas City, Missouri on July 8th will have the Brody Buster's one-man band, American Slim, Golden Groves, and the Irreplaceable Ska Orchestra. And then the next night, the Replay Lounge from 6 to 9 will be Nicholas St. James, Heidi Lynn Gluck, and Street Level Uprising. And then the same night in St. Joseph, Missouri, starting at 7 p.m., we'll have the Gastown Lamps, the Center State, and Under the Big Oak Tree. And then the following weekend, we'll have Lou Ellen's Pub down in Overland Park, Kansas. We'll do the Thunderclaps and the Ragged Airs, which is a lot of the members of Not a Planet.
And that's a lot of information, but for more information, to get details mm-hmm. of the show
exactly.
and ticket prices.
Assuming you weren't writing all that down. CMF,
I was driving at the time.
CMFKC.com has all the information, or KKFI.org/events has all of that as well. So I thank you very much for letting
Absolutely.
Me come on and talk about it.
Well, and I hope that people will check it out and, realize that this is a fundraiser for KKFI.
That's
because
right.
we are here for the community.
Yep, and it's a phenomenal show. So
terrific.
It's a win-win-win-win.
I'll go if you go.
Done. I'll be there.
Very good. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
That was our friend Bill Sundahl, who's just a terrific special events coordinator. And, He's got a fancy smile and everything. So, listen, I hope you do check that out at the websites, as he mentioned. So we're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back with our first guest. And this is Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. We have our first guest here live at the microphone, Director of Community Building and Engagement at Community Housing of Wyandotte County, and arts activist Stephen Curtis is here. He's here to talk about the Epic Clay Studio, which was created in 2011 by a collaboration between Accessible Arts and Community Housing of Wyandotte County, also the acronym CHWC. Accessible Arts is a Kansas 501c3 not-for-profit whose mission is to foster creativity and provide educational opportunities for people with disabilities while hosting an inclusive environment for all to engage, explore, and enjoy the arts. CHWC is a Kansas not-for-profit community development corporation that focuses on revitalizing KCK by building new homes while renovating existing homes and businesses. So as to revive and beautify the neighborhoods. Epic Clay Studio is located at 609 North 6th Street, Kansas City, Kansas. Welcome, my friend.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having me here today.
You bet. You know, I've known you through the years, just sort of through Facebook, so I'm really happy that you took the opportunity to come and talk with us about not only the Epic Clay Studio, but the community housing of Wyandotte County. So,
well, it is good to get off of Facebook once in a while and actually get out in the community and talk to people face-to-face.
So what's happening currently over there on the Kansas City, Kansas side?
Well, there's actually a lot of things doing. Most of my work is in the Grandview Corridor, and we have about five projects that we use as resident engagement projects to get people involved in the community. And in the past, we've always built houses and tried to build community behind it, but it seems more logical to build the community first and then bring the houses in behind it. And the main drive of my engagement programs is to always involve art, to involve youth in the art, and get the youth to use art to solve problems in their own communities.
How important is that?
Well, I think it's very important. I mean, for me, art changed my life at some point. I was doing many other things, and it just opened up to me one day. You know, I saw a book by Ansel Adams, and it changed my world, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a driving force for me for about the last 30 years.
So with the community housing of Wyandotte County and Epic Arts Clay Studio, they work in a partnership, right?
Right. We own the actual the building itself. And about 5 years ago, a friend of mine said that there was equipment that the state was going to be getting rid of, ceramic equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just going to store it in an empty space we had. But as the equipment came in, I realized that there was enough there for a studio.
Mm-hmm.
So we started working on making that a possibility, advertised on Facebook again. A lot of volunteers came in. And with basically no money, we turned it around in about 90 days and started teaching classes there on clay for young people.
That's beautiful, because I know you have a lot of artists that have come to support the program and teach, and you also have the support of the community. He really wants this in their neighborhood.
Yeah, right, because it's something that they wouldn't normally have.
Sure. Sure. So what other sort of projects are ongoing, or what more can you tell us about the whole organization itself?
Well, every year we do Art in the Park. We have art classes in the park at Waterway Park, and it's a park that we've spent a lot of time redesigning,
mm-hmm.
putting trees in and making it much more inviting for people to come into. We've also had a split log farm. We're working with kids at an elementary school to grow their own food for the cafeteria. And we're just in our third year, and we actually did a test pilot of that last year where they did provide lunch for all the people in the school. So that's pretty fulfilling by itself. But we do art at the farm. We do murals. The kids came up with the idea of eliminating graffiti on the back of garages by painting murals. And they have about 24 murals they've done in the neighborhoods right now.
Do you think this has helped dispel sort of maybe the reputation that Kansas City, Kansas has that?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes the community be more like a place where you want to have family and friends walk around.
Mm-hmm.
They clean alleys, they organize neighbors, keep the alleys clean, they paint the murals, and they invite people out, have picnics and things like that.
There's a sense of ownership and a sense of just pride that develops.
It's so true, and right now we're at the lowest crime rate we've had in 30-some years, so that doesn't hurt either.
Would you attribute that to, again, investing, the community investing in your work and also the sort of programs that you have offered?
Well, certainly not my work alone, but the work of community policemen and of all the neighborhoods to make it a better place.
Yeah.
Because it really has some fantastic neighborhoods.
What's coming up for the summer? Chris, we're in the thick of summer right now, but what's happening?
Well, they're doing the classes, the Waterway at Waterway Park, the art classes. One was this morning, as a matter of fact. We'll do a couple at the farm on split log there. And I imagine for the most part, the summers are pretty much work for us. They'll be painting a couple more murals. They're painting one by the farm right now, and we'll do a few more. And this year, it's kind of interesting. It's always been murals that were colorful or, you know, some sort of design or an image they like. But this year, they're trying to put messages on all the murals.
Like what?
Well, they just painted one of bees because we have bees at the farm. So they have, it just says, save the bees, and it has this bee, sort of an abstract bee that's really cool. And then they're getting ready to paint a Mario one that is emphasizing recycling in the neighborhood.
Yeah, so, you know, it sounds like it's very interdisciplinary. So it's art, and it's educating them about the bees and sort of community work.
That's exactly right, and that's what makes it worthwhile, is because you add other components, too. You bring in other partners, like Accessible Arts. We've partnered with the University of Kansas School of Architecture, the Master Gardener Program from K-State Extension Office. So the more partners we get in there, they all bring value to the programs.
And Epic Clay Studio is at 609 North 6th Street, Kansas City, Kansas. And can you tell our listeners sort of what area is that? That's not necessarily Strawberry Hill.
It is Strawberry Hill. It's at 6th and Jerome, right behind City Hall, just a few blocks south of Minnesota. But we have some exciting news on that, too. That building, we've had apartments upstairs before. We now have Epic on one side. We have the KU Group on the other side in the storefront. And now we're working on the building to turn it into the Epic Arts Building. And we'll have, more than likely, we'll have a nonprofit or an incubator nonprofit upstairs in one of the apartments and have space for an Airbnb that we can also use for to bring residents and resident artists in from different parts of the country.
That's terrific. If you're just now tuning into Art Speak Radio, I am talking to Stephen Curtis, who's the Director of Community Building and Engagement at Community Housing of Wyandotte County. He's also an arts activist and an artist yourself, right?
Correct.
Stephen Curtis, working with members of the community and partnerships and all to build just a wonderful neighborhood in that corridor, Grandview Corridor, right?
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times the neighborhood we're in right now is Bethany, and there's not a neighborhood association. The population's turned over in the last 10 years based on ethnic background and everything else, and people aren't speaking the same languages. They're not talking to each other, and when that happens, things fall apart. So we're in trying to get everybody together, get them to talk, get to know each other, and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Is there anything that you need from the community that is sort of on your wish list that people would want to learn about?
Well, we depend on volunteers a great deal to do our work, particularly during the summer. We do about 2,000 hours of volunteer work every summer. So that's very important. And certainly the rest of my work's done with grants and donations, so I'm open to that as well. But even if you just come by and look around the farm sometime, look around the park, come to an art class, go to Epic and have a class, it's just a great experience.
Is there a walking tour maybe of the area that can help people learn about what's going on?
Actually, we're working on that right now. We're trying to tie all the sites together, along with our coffee shop, a couple on the hill in Minnesota.
That's right. You mentioned the coffee shop, which is new.
Yes, it is. It's very new. And it's very unusual for a community development corporation to do, but we've taken it on. We've been there just over a year, and it's doing well. We do a Friday morning coffee there for the community where CHWC offers the coffee up. And from 8 to 10, and people just stop in when they want and go when they want. There's no agendas, but everyone there has an agenda. They just have to do it one-on-one.
Yeah. Again, that's Epic Clay Studio, 609 North 6th Street, Kansas City, Kansas. Did I miss anything? Is there something else that you might want to mention that...
No. They have went to a new scheduling at Epic's, and they're doing all open studios pretty much. I'm teaching with the students from the School of the Blind and kids with special needs in District 500 school district. But all other than that, it's open studios. It's $10. Mm-hmm. You get 5 pounds of clay, and it includes everything, glazing and everything else. Best price in town.
Yeah, it is. You know, Clay is your friend. I mean, you know, there's some interesting things that can happen with that. And if you're not familiar with it, this would be a good opportunity for you to you know, reenact that scene from Ghost.
That'd be a good one too. But it's also very therapeutic.
It is.
It's good for your hands. It's good for your mind.
Absolutely, the arts. So, Stephen Curtis, thank you so much for coming in this afternoon and talking to us about Epic Clay Studio, the community building and engagement at Community Housing of Wyandotte County. Please don't be a stranger. Come back.
I would love to. Thank you very much for having me.
And, you know, do let me know when a walking tour is available, and we'll walk there with you.
We'll get it set up.
Very good. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. Thank you, my friend. And you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd here with you every Wednesday from noon to 1. Thank you for making us a priority. Thank you for tuning in to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, or listening to us online. Next up, we have another terrific person in the community who's here to talk about the Kansas City Collection. The Kansas City Collection is proudly announces the participating artists and businesses that will launch the 2016-2017 collection, and they're pleased to house the collection in their new home at 4800 Main. I have Ryan Hearn here in the studio to talk about the Kansas City Collection and what that is all about. The Kansas City Collection is www.thekccollection.com. Brian Hearn, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Terrific.
I love me some KKFI.
Oh, bless your heart. We love you. You know, the collection features approximately 100 works of art by 15 artists. Is that right?
Yes. In fact, 122 this cycle. So.
Yeah. So let's talk about what the rotating art collection is like. What is that about?
So basically, we have 7 partner companies who receive every 6 months a portion of our collection. And so we rotate it through our different corporate partners over an 18-month period. And it's a professionally curated collection of exclusively Kansas City area artists. And so we're really trying to tap into the depth and richness of our visual arts community. And so every cycle, this is the 4th cycle, we have a new batch of artists that are selected, and they each have about 5 to 10 works in the collection. And so we just try to offer sort of a sampling to each of our corporate partners. And the cool thing about this program really is that the artists are guaranteed sales, which is very unique and something that we're proud of, because this is a program that over the first 3 cycles has sold almost $500,000 in artwork to our partner companies, and that money goes back to the artist. So we're really pleased about that, and it also, you know, provides some interesting opportunities for exposure for artists and connecting them to our corporate partners who, you know, have an opportunity to live with this work, mm-hmm. share it with their employees mm-hmm. and guests, and so building relationships between artists and the business community is one of the kind of goals that we have with the collection.
And it's really beautiful because it's buying locally, or it's, you know, mm-hmm. using the local artists. The current collection for 2016-2017 will feature the work of Debbie Barrett-Jones, Laura Berman, Patty Carroll, Miranda Clark, Emily Connell, Sarah Beth Dunton, Kim Eichler-Mesmer, Carrie Esser, Gloria Baker Feinstein, Madeline Gallucci, Marcy Miller Gross, and Austin Pierce, Warren Rosser, Phil Schaefer, and Laura Shipley. So there's going to be quite a variety of the work, textiles, photography, ceramics, right?
Absolutely, yes. It's a very interesting. And, you know, each collection is unique, and so sometimes there's, you know, a greater proportion of one medium to another, but this time we have a really nice mix of media, very diverse, and you'll notice there's a lot of ladies on that list. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a really strong year for 13 women artists out of our collection, and so we're proud of that too.
So what is the criteria for being selected as an artist for this collection?
Sure. Well, definitely artistic excellence. But just to talk a bit about that process, so we invite a curatorial committee, usually one nationally recognized artist who we bring in. This year was a painter named Elizabeth Huey from Los Angeles, who has shown here in Kansas City previously. And then we had two other corporate curators here in town, Joe Houston with Hallmark and Robin Trafton with Commerce Bank. And we also had Christian Cutler from University of Central Missouri. He runs their Gallery of Art and Design there. And Mo Dickens from Belger Art Center. So they formed our curatorial committee. And so we have other arts professionals and former Kansas City Collection artists nominate artists in the community to apply. And then that gets sort of whittled down to the final 15, which is really challenging because so many great people in this town. There's so many people doing great work.
I can imagine. Well, and some of the partners that I can list, or that you have listed here are, I've got Black & Veatch, Barclay, KCP&L, Polzinelli Law Firm, Populous Architecture, St. Luke's Hospital of Kansas City, and Waddell & Reed. So those are some very fine institutions.
Yeah, we really think that these businesses are kind of creative leaders. They appreciate the value of fine art. They value creativity and innovation, and they want to share that with their employees and guests. And so it's one of my favorite things about working with this collection is sort of just hearing the feedback. You know, when we go to install a batch of 20 works at Kansas City Power and Light, for example, just hearing the feedback from the employees is really exciting because they look forward to it. They, you know, and they're sad when certain pieces go, and so we appreciate that.
Well, what are some of the feedback? I mean, you know, when you go into your workplace, sometimes the artwork or decor just sort of is in the background. You just really kind of don't notice, but this makes a difference for the employees.
It really does. In fact, we launched the collection last night at Populous Architecture, and they were having an open house for their new location by the Plaza Library. And so their walls were untouched, virgin walls. And so installing about 60 works in their space was really exciting for their employees, and they really expressed an appreciation for having work in the space as opposed to a white wall, for example. But yeah, and also being able to share the stories of the artists and, and how they make their work, what it's about. You know, they all enjoy hearing about that, and they're curious about it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to say that high-resolution images of the artwork from the Kansas City collection, from the fourth collection here, are available.
Absolutely. But, and we just launched a new website, which you mentioned, the web address, the kccollection.com. So I encourage people to check that out. We have all 15 artists represented there. And if you want to know more about the collection or any of the artists, please check that out.
So this goes from the remainder of this year to 17. When will the next call for artists go out?
Yes, so that will...
I know that, that's jumping ahead.
That's okay. We're always looking for the next, you know, pool of talent, but that will occur basically at the end of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll go through we're just now starting the first 6-month rotation period, so we'll do three of those. And then another unique thing about the collection is at the end of the 18 months, the participating businesses have an opportunity to acquire work from the collection based on the amount that they invested in initially. So it's a chance for, you know, some companies to start a corporate collection, others that already have them to build on their collections, and some businesses just enjoy having the rotation and being able to live with the work. I mean, I think it's probably a lot more like how we live with art in our homes, as opposed to the way that we might experience work in a gallery setting where it's a bit more pristine. So, but this is, you know, kind of a a way to get to know the work in a different way. You see it every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the Kansas City Collection is managed and coordinated by the Collectors Fund, the TCF, and it was founded by Alexander Sandy Camper and Will Connor in 2006. So in addition to creating and managing the Kansas City Collection Program, TCF is the management company for the American Masters Collection and 20th Century Masters Collection, which is a two-part ownership and investment fund for over 100 member families and businesses across the United States. You know, we're just so proud to have this here in Kansas City and promoting, highlighting, showcasing local artists.
Definitely, yes. Yeah. It's a joy to work with.
Absolutely. And you have been in this role for?
Just not even a year.
Wow.
So yeah. I'm still fairly new to Kansas City and have been loving it.
So now, do you go out yourself and sort of see the placement of the work, or is that done by a different...
Yes, I get to... I get very intimate with all of these works and moving them, installing them. And
lighting.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times, you know, it is different than a gallery. I have a museum background, so it's quite a different experience. You don't have track lighting in many instances. And so we do the best we can with the spaces that we're provided with. But it's still transformative to be able to bring the work into these spaces and sort of enliven them.
Beautiful. Again, that is the Kansas City Collection, and this is the fourth cycle. So congratulations to those artists that were selected in this collection. And again, the website?
It's thekccollection.com.
Very good. Any last words that I... Get everything in there.
I think so, yeah. Just thank you for having me.
You bet. I've got three pages. I just want to make sure that I've hit everything. And, you know, Brian Hearn, this sounds like a really, really exciting position to be in, to hands-on with the art and maybe, you know, sort of hang the work and lighting and all that. That's going to be like a curatorship in itself, right?
Indeed, yes. And it's just fun to have so many great artists to work with in town.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for coming by to talk with us today on ArtSpeak Radio.
Thank you.
So keep us posted. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. And you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd every Wednesday, noon to one with you. Thank you for turning us on. Next up, I've got Travis Pratt and Casey Hennin. Travis is an artist and gallery director for the Bunker Center for the Arts, and Casey Hennin is a writer who lives in Kansas City. His work has appeared in American Short Picture, Analemma, Smoke Long Quarterly, and elsewhere. His story, Other Sons, was selected by Wigleaf as one of the top 50 online short fictions published in 2011. His first book of stories, Mother Ghost, is now available from Tiny Hardcore Press. And he has an opening that takes place at the Bunker Center for the Arts, July 8th, 5:30 to 10, with a reading at 6:30. So welcome, my friends.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So, Travis, it's been a little bit since you were last on ArtSpeak Radio, but tell us in what's happening for First Friday.
We're going to have the doors open First Friday, but Casey's show is actually the second Friday because of 4th of July weekend and everything.
So
it'll be the July 8th.
Did I not mention July 8th?
Yeah, you mentioned it. You
Travis.
Got that right.
Yeah, so...
His reading's actually at 7, though.
Okay.
I think I did tell you 6:30, but it's at 7.
That's okay. We'll still be there. And Casey, welcome to ArtSpeak Radio. This is your first time, right?
Yes, it is. Thank you for having me.
Very good. So you have some work that you're going to read for us, and then we'll talk a little bit?
Yes, yes.
Okay, sure.
I'm going to read from my recent novella, The Three Woes. I'll just read a short bit for you. The man's name is Jim. He takes me to church. Wood-paneled walls, red carpet, white candles, a statue of Jesus holding a snake out between his hands like a length of fabric. We're alone in the sanctuary. At the same time, I know we're seen. Even if I believed in God, I wouldn't believe he could see everything. He only has two eyes. Nature has more eyes than I can feel on me at once. You want nasty snakes or you want the nastiest snakes? Jim asks. He knocks on the pulpit. I hear scales scrape against each other. What I want are active snakes, hungry snakes, snakes that don't smile or get eaten by eagles. Whose boys are you? A voice echoes. I won't lie. I'm afraid it's God's. Keep your teeth in your mouth, Jim says. We've got money. He looks at me. I have money. A woman with no gun, no knife, not even a broom, sits up in a pew. Don't tell anyone I was asleep, she says. My first thought is she time-traveled here from the past. Her dress is the color of a dusty mantelpiece. She unlocks the pulpit and removes a pillowcase. Aside from a Bible and a rifle, there are three stacked glass cubes filled with venomous snakes. Which ones were you boys wanting? She asks and smiles, as if this isn't just done, but done often. Those, I say, and nod to the box in the middle because it doesn't really matter. The snakes have a brown dolloped pattern on their backs, a conveyor belt of Hershey's Kisses. It's the closest a snake will ever get to making me hungry. The woman laughs and says, Copperheads? All right. They think they're rattlesnakes, but they're not. Put them on the floor of a forest, and they melt into the leaves. I don't know about a forest, but I buy the snakes. The woman shakes them into the pillowcase and tells us to be careful. Jim kisses her goodbye on both cheeks. Let's go home, he says, which is where I planned on taking him all along. Once there, he dumps the snakes in the yard and jumps back. Not a strike or a slither, just a pile. We go inside the cabin to give the snakes some room. While we're there, we drink our way into nudity. Don't ask me about these because they don't mean anything, Jim says about his tattoos. I say the same about the scars on my cheek where he's kissing. About my absent hands, he still doesn't seem curious for a story. In the morning, the snakes have dispersed and left no trails. No need to worry how far they've gone. I know they surround me from hidden perches. Jim stands naked at the window and looks out at the property like it's his own, like he's home after a long time gone.
Beautiful. Wow. And that book that you're holding, too, is really lovely.
Yes, it's from a press in Tucson, Arizona. They hand-bind all their books.
And that's called The Three Woes. That's the book that you're reading out of. So you will be performing July 8th at the Bunker Center for the Arts, and that's at 1014 East 19th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And Travis...
He'll be showing his drawings, too. He makes amazing drawings on small scale on paper.
The drawings that will be on display are kind of inspired by the book that I just read from.
You know, and I was going to ask you, because that book almost lends itself to, you know, some illustrations in that.
Oh, yes, definitely. Some of the illustrations that are actually in here are going to be on display at the show.
Is this going to be available, too?
I will have a few copies available, yes.
Terrific. So, have you ever had poetry in that space before, Travis? I don't recall... that you had.
Nope, this is the first time, but we want to do a lot more. We want to keep going.
I think it's a great idea, especially with the work that the illustrations or the drawings that will go with that.
Yeah, exactly. I like the interdisciplinary mix.
Absolutely. So we're in the Bunker Center for the Arts. I know that there's several rooms and studios and gallery spaces within that complex.
Yeah, so there's the main entrance is facing 19th Street at 1014 19th Street, and we'll be having a closing for Mike Carney, our last show. Mm-hmm. He's coming back from Minnesota to pick up the work, so we're giving him a closing reception in the first room. And then just off to the right is the little white room where Casey's work will be. And then we still have selections from Spine Over Matter, our show that was up for NSECA. Mm-hmm. So with the sprawling layout, we have a chance to leave shows up for months and months. So people who maybe didn't go, they come to a new opening, and they can see basically what we've shown before. So I like being able to pair old shows with new shows and kind of the vibe of the whole space changes over time rather than, you know, all new work. especially as people are finding out about it, it gives them, if they haven't been over there yet, it gives them that chance to see what we've done.
Yeah, because it's right on the corner of East 19th Street, Bunker Center for the Arts, 1014 East 19th Street. Now, I know that you have a Facebook page, but at the currently a website?
Not a website yet, but we'll get one. We'll get that taken care of. And at Bunka, or B-U-N-K-C-A, is our Instagram, so you can see a lot of images of what we're doing. And we now have open hours. So kind of our newest development, Taylor West, is a young painter, and now she's been awarded a studio in return for working. We're open noon to 6, Thursday through Saturday, so people have a chance to come in for regular gallery hours.
You know, and I have a question for you, Casey. With the work that you just read and the wonderful little book that you have, did the drawings inform the words, or did they work together?
After I finished the manuscript for The Three Woes for this book, I had a sort of writing fatigue period where I didn't want to pick up any new writing, so I just started drawing, and I have about 100 pieces now that have kind of formed out of this last year since then. Hadn't drawn since high school, but this felt like a nice sort of separate release from the writing. So they definitely inform each other in ways I wasn't expecting.
Sure. Now, are they pencil drawings, pen and ink?
They're colored pencils. Uh-huh. They're very, very bright and colorful. Also very small.
Well, I'm glad that you paired up. I'm glad that you found one another in terms of, you know, showing the work and sharing your reading, your words and all. That is going to happen. Casey Hannon will read at 7?
7, yeah.
At the Bunker Center for the Arts, July 8th. And that's going to be open from 5:30 to 10?
Yeah.
July 8th. And then you'll be open for First Friday.
Yeah, we'll be open. We just keep the doors open on First Friday.
You never close the doors. Just come on in. Yes. So
our numbers are on the door, so if you come by pretty much any time, you can probably be let in if I'm in the studio.
Yeah. Well, do keep us posted on upcoming events and all, because this is a great center for the arts that houses a gallery and studios and multiple exhibition spaces. So, you know, do keep us posted on what's coming up, and
we will
make sure to make time to hear Casey Hannon at the Bunker Center for the Arts, July 8th at 7 o'clock.
Thank you. Definitely come out.
You bet. We're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio after this. And you're listening to ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd. We're in our second part of the hour, and I'm going to introduce Michael Shonoff, who is the KCAI Crossroads Gallery director at the Center for Contemporary Practice. I think I kind of ran that together. But anyway, Michael is here. He's the director of the KCAI Crossroads Gallery, and he's going to talk about the summer exhibition, the position that we're in, or the position we're in. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here, and it's nice to talk about what we have going on and to be among great guests and all this activity in Kansas City.
There's so much going on. And to give you a little bit of a backstory, in 2015, Margaret Silva, alumna, former board member, and longtime supporter of the Kansas City Art Institute, she generously gifted 1819 Grand Boulevard, the building that housed Grand Arts for 20 years. Can you believe it? She gifted it to Kansas City Art Institute. The facilities include two galleries, a large cross-disciplinary studio, and an artist-in-residence apartment. Renamed Kansas City Art Institute Crossroads Gallery Center for Contemporary Practice, this space provides an exciting opportunity for the college to be a part of the popular Crossroads Arts District. So that's pretty exciting.
No, it's way exciting. Yeah, it's a huge opportunity for the school and for students and for the community, I think.
Yeah, you know, just really so many good things have happened for the Art Institute and in turn for the city. But we want to talk about the position we're in, featuring the work of Hamish Fulton, Kent Monkman, and Guido van der Werf?
Van der Werf, yes.
And that opens July 1st, runs through September 2nd. So what are we going to see?
Correct. So this exhibition
features these three artists, and it's about kind of where, what, and how their body is in relationship to their work. So the three artists, you know, kind of speak to this cross-platform, cross-disciplinary practice that we want to investigate and look at and work with students in at the space. So the first artist, so what you'll see when you come in the space by Guido van der Werf is a video piece. And he's an artist, an interesting artist, Dutch artist, that trained as a classical musician. He studied Russian, he studied anthropology, and he studied visual arts and video art. And so he puts together these ambitious video projects that they're melancholic, they're humorous at times. Mm-hmm. And so within this one, it's about 11 minutes long, and you're going to see his relationship to a Steinway piano. And I'm not going to give away any of the storyline because you have to come and see it, but you know, he positions himself in this piece as both the artist and the protagonist in this narrative. You know, it has a romantic side to it. It's a wonderful piece and a great way to transform the space yet again. Part of the gift was some incredible AV equipment, so we're going to try it out and have a nice video.
So that exhibition is opening July 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. Does that also include a reception or any sort of artist talk?
It's just an opening right now. There will be a public program in August. I believe it's the 27th. I don't have that written down, unfortunately. But it'll be on the website, and it will be out there and invited. You'll be invited to it, everyone listening at some point.
Beautiful. So. And as director for the Center for Contemporary Practice Committee, you've got a lot on your plate, right? To put it nicely. So tell us what other things you see happening in this space that's coming up.
Okay, good. Good question. So yes, you know, we received this amazing gift. And, you know, we're looking at this facility, and I think moving into it, you know, it's something that we're growing into over time, and we want to be reflexive about what we do and how we can work in the space. But what's great about it is it's kind of set up in a way. There's the galleries, there's the residency apartment, and then there's the large studio space. So what we've done is we've created a faculty advisory committee, or a committee, a standing committee, actually, that is called the Center for Contemporary Practice Committee. And so that committee really develops the curriculum that's going to happen at this space, and I'll work together with them to create the programs that exist, the exhibitions, the visiting artists, and how that studio space is activated for students. You know, one of the nice things that we get to grow into is this residency apartment and this idea of having a residency program, which is different than a visiting artist. You know, we bring an artist all the time. We bring him in for a week or so, maybe several weeks, and we have that relationship with them. Well, what does that look like if we bring in an artist to serve as maybe an adjunct professor for a semester? Mm-hmm. What kind of, you know, effect can they have on students and our community to bring that in? So that's what we're playing with and planning for over the next year or so. We're excited about it. It's great. It's amazing.
Now, for the artist in residence program, Enel, does that person, that individual, necessarily have to be an alumni of the Art Institute?
Not at all.
You're not restricted to that.
They could be.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're talking about that could be an artist, that could be a curator, that could be a designer, that could be someone who has a discipline that we are investigating as being an art form. So we're really open about experimenting. You know, and having successes and having failures, and really embracing the success and failing in things, in that we can take risks, you know, and that allows us to take some risk in what we're doing. So, yeah, we're going to have a good time with it, I think.
Yeah. Great. You know, and it's great that the Art Institute has a presence there in the Crossroads Gallery. I mean, it really makes sense. You know, it's hard to imagine that Grand Arts was there for 20 years.
I know.
You know, and so much really great stuff that I've seen in that space, and it will continue.
Yeah, well, it's an honor to continue that space, so like a next chapter of that space. And as you talk about the Art Institute being in the Crossroads, you know, the name itself kind of
speaks to, you know, the presence we had there in the past. We had a Crossroads Gallery that was a student gallery, a small space there on Main.
On Main. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we can look back to that at the same time as looking forward. And, you know, when you think about the Crossroads, you know, how many Art Institute alumni, professors have had a part in building that. So,
absolutely,
you know, it makes sense we can be down there and play along as well and have some programs.
Yeah, I think, you know, the gallery that you mentioned, I think housed the senior design students' work way back when.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when I was a student there, it was a student gallery, like in the basement of the residence
on campus. Yes, and the Kemper Gallery was there for a while. So it's been an interesting kind of history of art making and art exhibiting with the Art Institute.
It really makes sense that, you know, because really the campus is sort of landlocked. I mean, there's not a whole lot of building that can take place, although the reconstruction of the sculpture department is currently going on.
Correct.
It just makes sense to really reach out to other parts of the community, especially the Crossroads.
Sure. We're on a little island down here, but it's great. It's a good place to be.
And for more information, the website?
The website, I would say go to kcai.edu, click on KCI Crossroads Gallery. That's the easiest way to find it, and that will have information about the programs that are there, the upcoming programs, specific dates, and mailing list as well, opportunity. So, yeah.
And again, the summer exhibition, The Position We're In, features the work of Hamish Fulton, Kent Monkman, and Guido Vandiver. Did I say that right?
Perfect.
Terrific.
Good job.
And so that opens July 1st, runs through September 2nd, and explores place and body through a variety of media. So that opening is July 1st, 6 to 8 p.m. at 1819 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City, Missouri. Any last words? Did we get everything covered?
That sounds great. Just thank you for the opportunity. You know, it's going to be fun down there. Look forward to doing more.
Yeah, this is really the position we're in sounds very interesting. I mean, very provocative. So
yes. Well, you know, let me end on a little quote from
absolutely,
Hamish Fulton
please.
Here. He's a walking artist, and he makes these kind of remnants of his walking adventures. So he just reads, "Unlike lines drawn on a map, a line walked can never be erased."
I like that.
There you go.
Very good. Thank you, Michael Shonoff, director of the KCAI Crossroads Gallery Center for Contemporary Practice at 1819 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City, Missouri. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Maria.
Do come back.
Thank you.
Well, that is our show for today. You know, it's always just a fun-filled, fact-filled, just a journey, you know, of really terrific people happening, people in the creative community. I want to thank Stephen Curtis, Brian Hearn, Travis Pratt, Casey Hannon, Michael Shonoff. Next week, July 6th, can you believe it's July? We'll have Joel Barrett, Marissa Starkey, and Mo Dickens, who will join us live here in the studio. And, you know, feel free to like us on Facebook because we like you. We really do. We also offer podcasts of the programs through www.kkfi.org and iTunes. So make sure that if you missed this program or another, you can go back and download our podcast. Stay tuned at 1 o'clock for Jeff Harshberger, who's here in town, I think. I haven't seen him yet, but I'm sure he'll be up next with Jazz in the Afternoon. Please remember, 4th of July is coming up. Take care of your pets. Get them indoors. Also in this warm weather, look after one another and your dogs and cats. They need water too. So I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd signing off. Honey, I'm coming home.